Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you because you truly were broken and spilled out so that we could know you, so that our sin could be forgiven. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray tonight would be a night of salvation, Lord, that you would save people. Just as you've moved so miraculously in times past, Father, we pray that you would move again tonight. Speak to us through your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, you know, it's like, is it the first Wednesday night of the year? It is, isn't it? Because it's not, okay, yeah. It's first Wednesday night of the year. And I just kind of want to encourage us tonight. And we're going to be looking in John chapter 5. And John chapter 5 is one of those passages that's kind of like, I need to know the rest of the story, all right? Let me just read a little bit here. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" Those are such powerful words. Do you want to get well? You know, I believe Jesus is asking us that right now. Do you want to get well? And I mean, we could just kind of say, wow, this is incredible, but it's kind of like I need to know the rest of the story. For example, we went to my parents in Cincinnati. There was about 8 inches of snow at mom and dad's house, and the kids couldn't wait to get there because Papaw was going to pull them on his four-wheeler from a sled, right? I don't know if I'm saying that right. You know, Papaw's going to be driving a four-wheeler, pulling them on a sled. They couldn't wait to get there. And I'm going to be honest. I watched my dad take him around the yard a few times. I said, he's going to hurt one of these kids. You know, now he didn't care when his kid was on the back of that thing, slamming me up against trees and buildings, and you see what happened to me. And I thought, hey, Dad, won't you let me get on there, and, you know, I'll drag the kids around. I won't go into all the details except that I texted many of the staff and told them to pray that I had flipped a four-wheeler with two kids on it, all right? And so, yeah, listen, some of you care and many of you don't. Some of you are laughing like, oh, this is one of his funny stories. I flipped a four-wheeler with two kids on it. How can this possibly be funny? Well, it is a little funny, I'll tell you. So I texted Keith because I knew he'd be really concerned. I never heard from him. But Jeff Reynolds is like, oh, my gosh, do you need us to come to Cincinnati? What can we do? And I text him back and said, yeah, it's not as bad as it sounds. And so he calls me and I tell him that the deal was, I was going about 2 miles an hour, and I was just doing a little sharp turn, you know, to get my daughter kind of pulled around. My son's on the back. And when you're going 2 miles an hour and you turn over a four-wheeler, it's really not that big of a deal. Matter of fact, it took so long to turn over, I had two full screams, right? I'm like, ah! Ah! You know, it's kind of like that. And so once you hear the rest of the story, you know, it's like, oh, okay. So Jesus comes to this pool called Bethesda. And this is really cool. I didn't realize this. But Bethesda is an Aramaic word, all right? You may have heard of Bethesda Hospital, you know, some places that call themselves Bethesda. It's an Aramaic word. And what it means is house of mercy or house of grace. All right, so that's the name of this pool. All right. And Jesus comes to the pool. The reason Jesus comes to this pool, the reason the Bible says there's all kinds of disabled people around the pool is because what they believed happened is that an angel would come and stir the water. And the first person that could get into the pool after the angel stirred the water would be healed. Right. So can you imagine the throngs of people waiting for that water to be stirred, and then the mayhem and the bedlam that take place when that water gets stirred? Can you imagine people grabbing each other and trying to get in first? All right, this is the picture of what's going on. But you see, it's called Bethesda. It's the house of mercy, the house of grace. And I'm going to tell you what we believe. All right, we believe that we serve a God who heals. All right?
Now, and I want you to know this. I believe that God heals physically. All right, I believe that. All right, but I want you to know something, because some of you are here and you're like, oh yes, God heals physically. Because you know what we see when we look? It's not what God does all the time. Right? If God healed all the time, everybody would be alive. And so God doesn't heal all the time physically. Because here's what I believe. If you're a follower of Jesus and you die, you're healed. All right? Because we weren't made for this world. Does everybody understand that? I said I'm working on a book. And I'm working on tons of books because nobody will ever buy them. And but it's like I want to write a book called Your Best Life Later. I do. Hey, and you may love Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. You may love it. That's fine. I haven't read it, so I'm not making any commentary on his book. I just don't like the title of his book. Because if this is your best life, you're going to hell. This is not my best life. If this is the best life, then God is really messed up. Because this life is hard. How many of you figured that out? Man, this life, people are always messing you up, aren't they? And who messes you up worse than everybody else? Me, right? Don't mistreat me because I like mistreating myself. Right? And that's kind of, you know, what's going on? Because in this life, we're going to face troubles and trials and tribulations. But I'm going to tell you, but I do believe that God heals. And this pool, whatever gets credit for the healing that takes place at the pool of Bethesda, let me tell you, it's Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. And it's called the house of mercy or the house of grace. Because God has been so good to us that, I mean, literally, it's like, what more could I ask for from God? Now, don't get me wrong, because I'm still asking for a lot more. But it's the house of mercy. It's the house of grace. And God heals. But here's what I want to say tonight. And maybe this will be a challenge for some of you tonight. Because I want you to understand this, okay? You look at all the healings that take place in Scripture. You're hard-pressed to find a healing that Jesus performed that he did for that person. You see, healing is not about us. Healing is about the glory of God. It's about the glory of God. And we are so like that first century church. We are so enthralled with physical healing, we forget that God wants to heal us emotionally. We forget that God wants to heal those places in our lives and those addictions. We forget that God wants to heal marriages and restore relationships. We forget that. And so Jesus comes to this guy who's been laying there how long? 38 years. Right? They're bringing mail to this guy at the pool, right? And Jesus comes and asks, you ever ask something really dumb, right? Like I ran into somebody, I go to the gym once or twice a year, whether I need to or not. And I went Monday, right? Tuesday, I was way too sore, so I didn't go. But Monday, I ran into somebody, and I was embarrassed to see anybody at the gym, because you know who goes to the gym in January, right? Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. And so I see somebody. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? I mean, what do you say? Because he looked at me. But because I was Pastor Jamie, he didn't want to say anything real snotty. And he's like, oh, I'm just, you know, here to work out. And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, it's like I got to go. Jesus comes up to a guy that's been laying there 38 years and says what to him? Do you want to get well? I mean, what a stupid question, right? Except Jesus asked it. Why would Jesus ask a question like that? You know, I mean, usually when I'm going through, to the cash register at Walmart, they don't say, do you want this? Right? They don't say that. Do you want this? Do you want this? You know, or I got a big thing of toilet paper because there's six of us, right? And I hate buying toilet paper because everybody knows what you're going to do with it, you know, but there it is, you know, and it's just kind of how just it's
It's awkward. But they don't ask that when you get up to the cash register. Do you want this? When do they ask you, do you want this? When the idiot behind you doesn't put that little plastic thing in between your stuff, right? Only then do they ask, when there's a doubt whether or not this stuff is yours. Sir, did you want the pantyhose? I'm like, yeah, but that's my last thing. So, you know. All right, I don't know where that's coming from. A lot of pent-up stuff tonight. Well, Jesus asked the guy, do you want to get well? Do you know why? Because Jesus knows that although the guy says he wants to get well, he's not willing to be well. Listen to this. Verse 7. Jesus just asked him, do you want to get well? And he says, now listen, do you want to get well? That's a real basic question, right? That typically requires what? A yes or a no. It's one of those kind of questions, right? It's not a question like when your wife says, hey, how do I look in this? To which I always respond, yes. Jesus says, do you want to get well? I mean, you know, the guy's been there 38 years. Just say yes already. And the guy says, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now think about his reply to the question. Jesus didn't say, sir, would you like help getting into the pool? Because that's when that response would be appropriate, wouldn't it? Well, sir, there's been no one to help me, so it would be great. But Jesus didn't ask him, do you want help getting into the pool? Jesus didn't ask him, sir, are people cutting in front of you? To which that would have been an appropriate response, wouldn't it? But Jesus didn't ask that. Jesus said, do you want to get well? Now listen, I'm not being hard on this guy because I understand. Because when Jesus speaks to me in that still small voice, in that divine whisper, and he says to me, do you want to get well? Neither do I reply yes or no. I say, Lord, you don't understand. You don't understand the people I'm around. You don't understand the people in my family. Lord, you don't understand what we've gone through. Lord, I had a bad childhood. Raise your hand if you had a bad childhood. Nobody will admit it. People tell me that in my office. I had a bad childhood. And I say, join the club. Who has it? And if you're 13, I feel sorry for you. If you're 23, move on. Right? They screwed up your life for 18 years. You don't screw it up for the next 40, right? But when Jesus asked me, do you want to get well? I'd never say yes. I've always got a reason why I'm not well. I always have a reason why I can't get there. But Jesus just asked the question, do you want to get well? And see, the guy made an assumption. The guy's assumption was, the only way I'm getting well is if I get into the pool. But see, Jesus wasn't offering for him to get into the pool. Jesus asked him if he wanted to get well. And the deal is, all right, you got to hear this. The deal is, Jesus wants us to get well. And we want to make excuses for why we're not. Why we won't. Here's what I'm thinking about. This is why it's John chapter 5 tonight. It's because it's the beginning of the year, right? And I don't know how many of you are into New Year's resolutions or how many of you feel a sense of empowerment because it's January and you're thinking, my life's going to be different from here on out. My life's going to be different. I'm going to do things different, right? I mean, it's what is it, January the 5th. I've had 4 Slim Fast shakes, right? I had them at Ryan's, but it still counts that I had a Slim Fast shake. Sir, would you like a Mountain Dew? No, I brought a shake, but I would like some more chicken legs when they come out, right? But a lot of us, I always feel kind of a hope that I don't feel throughout the year when it comes to January. Anybody else? It's January again. I want to see, is it just me? Raise your hand real high. So let's see. Do you know why I feel a sense of hope in January that I don't feel the rest of the year? Because all the changes that need to be made in my life, I feel hopeful that I can do it in January. And that's why those changes never happen. They never take place. Because I'm dependent upon me. It's January. I can do it now. And if we've learned anything from the Bible, haven't we learned that we can't do it? Was it a big deal that the guy was an invalid and he couldn't get up and nobody was there to help him? That apparently meant little to Jesus, because Jesus went to him. We're understanding there was a crowd of people there that had issues, and Jesus went to this guy and he said, "Do you want to get well?" And the guy just had excuses. Then Jesus said to him, "This is why it's the house of grace and the house of mercy. Because if I'm God and I say, 'Do you want to get well?' and you have excuses, you know what I'm saying to you? Lay there. Just lay there. That's fine. I'll see you. I'm going to go ask somebody else." You know, that's what I do if I'm God, right? Is that what you do if you're God? Right? That you're willing to do some great thing for somebody and they don't appreciate it, or they've got excuses and you're like, "Hey, you know what? I'll be back in 38 more years and then we'll see if you want." I mean, you know, and that's why I'm not God. Thank you. That was an awfully hearty amen. And immediately, listen to this. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." You know why? Because it's the house of grace. It's the house of mercy. And that healing wasn't dependent upon that man. It was dependent upon Jesus. But now Jesus did require something of the man. Did he require the man to heal himself? No. He required him to get up. Take up your mat. And walk. I mean, in essence, Jesus said to him, you are healed. Jesus did that. So I'm reading that story, you know, over the holidays, and I'm thinking about my life, and I'm thinking about things in my life, you guys, that, man, they've got to change. You know, I'm thinking of areas of my life where, man, all last year I just felt hopeless, right? And as I look back and I think about those areas of struggle, those areas of weakness in my life, you know, I hear the Lord saying, "Do you want to get well?" And you get to that point, right? It's a point of desperation. You know, I was able to share with a guy this past week, you know, there's such a healing that needs to take place in his life. Man, he's been racked up in the life he's been living for 20 years. What do you say, right? It's the same thing. It's the same issues year after year after year. Hurt after hurt, pain after pain. 20 years. And what do you say? You know, how do you encourage somebody? How is this year going to be different than the last two decades? Did any of y'all ever feel that way? That, man, that change, it's got to take place, but how's it going to take place? Man, we go to Barnes & Noble, we go to the self-help section, right? And we try to find a book that addresses the problem, the issue we have, right? And you get this book. I've got this. I went and bought this book, and it was like, I don't know, it was like eight spiritual principles for weight loss. And I thought, that's it. I don't want to work out. I want to pray it off. Right? I don't want to change my diet, where I eat, what I eat. I want to pray it off. Now, this book sounds good, right? Because this is the solution that I want, Lord. Go, I'm ready. Suck it up. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's the thing, man. You know, you love those things because they have the solutions that require the least. Because Jesus said to take up the cross annually and follow him, right? Look, some people are shaking your heads. You're not listening to me. Take up your cross annually and follow me. And some of you are going, amen. And I'd probably, if I was sitting there, I'd probably do the same thing because that's what I'm into. I'll pick it up once a year. He says, daily, pick up the cross and follow me. I mean, listen, if you believe this is your best life, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a very difficult time because you're going to wonder why this world is so screwed up if this is supposed to be our best life. But it's not. If you're a follower of Jesus, the best life is the life that's to come. And this life is God preparing us for that life. It's him making us more like Jesus. And so I've got struggles. Listen, if this was your best life, then when you got saved, you would no longer have the desire to sin. Has anyone here lost their desire to sin? Look around at these evil, wicked people here tonight, right? That desire is still there. Why? There's a guy asked me one time, why? Why won't God just take it away, right? Engaged couples say, pray for us. We're having a hard time staying pure until, you know, 3 months when that wedding day comes. We're having a hard time. Pray that we don't. And I said, I'm not praying that. You ought to have a hard time. Right? It ought to be a struggle because it honors God. And then we stay in that struggle, right? And Jesus says, do you want to get well? And the guy's got excuses. Maybe he wants to get well. Maybe he doesn't. Here's what matters. Jesus wants him to be well. And Jesus says, get up, take up your mat and walk. It says in Exodus that I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who heals you. If you think tonight that I'm winding down to 3 points that will show you how to be healed, you're sorely disappointed. I don't have those things. I have one thing, and that is this. We better seek the face of God. We better seek his face. Above all things, we better seek him. Whenever I pray with folks, I always say, Lord, we come to you because there's no other place to go. Lord, we come to you because you're the only, like my issues, and I know most of you don't think I have any. But my issues, let me tell you, oh, they're deep. They're deep and they're painful. And I'm going to tell you, I know this. I've tried for years to deal with them, and I can't. And so I better seek the one who can. I better seek the one who says, do you want to get well? Get up. Take up your mat and walk. We don't have time to go into the rest of the story, and there's some incredible theological implications in the rest of the story about who Jesus is, who he claimed to be, right? Jesus didn't just claim to be a prophet or a good man, but he claimed to be God. Because later he's going to say to the man, here's why I told you to get up and walk, so that I could tell you your sins are forgiven. And what would that say to the Jewish people if Jesus is forgiven people's sin? What's that saying? Only God can do that. And if Jesus has forgiven sin, he must think that he's God. And they would have really hung on that, except he told the 38-year-old invalid, right? I don't mean he was 38 years old. He laid there 38 years. He told him to get up and walk. And now they're not sure what to think about this guy named Jesus. I want to encourage you. Like already, in 5 days, I've come up with a budget for the new year, right? How we're going to turn our lives around financially. I've done that. I mean, it took an hour. I love it. It's awesome. I haven't stuck to it, but it's just 5 days, right? Man, I figured out how I'm going to lose 60 pounds because I've got to lose 60 pounds just to be overweight, right? According to the scale. So I'm trying to get to overweight. I've got all these plans for how my life's going to change. And I do it every year.
And there's only one who can change lives. And that's Jesus. And you know what's awesome? Once he saves you and forgives your sin, do you realize that he is not done with you? That the healing that needs to take place in our lives, he's going to walk us down the road of healing, that he does that. Which means if you're here tonight and you're a married couple, there's nothing that your marriage can't overcome. Nothing. That whatever you've gone through in your life, there's nothing that you can't overcome because of him. But that divine whisper is this. Do you want to get well? Do you want to? Do you want to get well? Then we better seek the face of the one who will lead us down that healing road. So all the plans we have for why 2011 will be different from 2010, we better seek him. You want to see changes in your life? Then make this a goal. I'm going to seek after him like I never have. Because I'm going to tell you, and I believe this, there's no other place to go. There's no other place to go. He's the only one. He holds the answers. He holds the direction. And he'll lead us and he will guide us. But we've got to be a people who seek his face. And the reason I preach this tonight is because of this. I'm not sure that we're a people who really want to seek him. I'm not sure that we're a people who are really willing to lay down the things he wants us to lay down and follow him. I'm not sure that we're a people who really want to take up the cross daily. Because this life, as you well know, this life is hard. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody look at me. You will not like this. This life is hard by design. Because he is making us more like him. He's making us more like him. I told a guy the other day, I said, there's no place God wouldn't go to make you what he wants you to be. And let me say it this way, it's a little more stinging. There's no place God wouldn't take you to make you what he wants you to be. And I think that few of us have the resolve to go to the places that God wants to take us so that we'll be more like him. So for the first Wednesday night of this year, we're just going to have a time of altar. And I want us to pray that we would be a people who seek the face of God. That we would be a people who would say, God, I'll go wherever you want to take me. No matter how hard it is, no matter how dark it is, I'll go wherever you want to take me. And why? Because one of my favorite verses, because he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete that work. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And so some of us, we've been laying by the pool for years. And Jesus is saying, do you want to get well? Don't think that. Keith Green. How many of you remember Keith Green? Man, just a phenomenal Christian musician. But, I mean, he was way more than that. I mean, the guy, he was a prophet. And one of my favorite all-time quotes is by Keith Green. And he said this, let's face it. The Bible is not full of stories of Jesus making people happy. It's full of stories of Jesus making people holy. And holiness is hard. Holiness is hard. Let's not be a people who seek happiness. Let's seek holiness. Let's see what God really wants to do in and through our lives. And let's trust him like we've never trusted him. We have a time of altar, and if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to come to this altar.
and a time to lay things down. You know, a time to come, and here's my deal. Here's what I do at the altar. I lay things down, I get done praying, and then I pick them back up. But to truly lay things down, I want to pray that we'd be a people who would do that. If you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to know, you've heard me say it, there's no other place to go. God created the world, right? He created everything in it. And if he created everything in it, that means he created you. And the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. All of us, not some of us, all of us are sinners. And that sin has caused a division between us and God. But God, in his grace and mercy, because it's Bethesda, it's the house of grace, the house of mercy. In his grace and mercy, he sent his son Jesus to come and die on the cross and his blood be shed so that our sin could be forgiven. There's no other place to go. If you're here tonight and you've never invited Christ to come into your life, there's no other place to go. He's the only one. And I love to tell people this. And tonight, if you're sitting there and you know you've never invited Christ to come into your life, and you feel in your heart that that's something that you need to do, the best news I have for you is only God can make you feel that way. Only God could make you feel like you need him in your life. He's the only one that can open our eyes to that. And I would invite you to come to this altar. And there'll be pastors down here. We'd love to talk with you and to pray with you. But let's be a people tonight who really seek the face of God. Lord, we love you. Teach us how to trust you. Lord, teach us how to lay things down. Lord, help us to hear that divine whisper that says, do you want to get well? And may our reply be, yes, Jesus, yes. And Lord, I pray tonight to be a night of healing because you are the Lord who heals. I pray for that. Lord, I pray for marriages tonight that are struggling. Lord, that you heal those. For relationships that are broken, that you heal those. Lord, we pray that you would move as only you can. Lord, I pray the people would be healed in an ultimate way tonight and be saved. I pray for those that haven't been baptized, that they would, as Trish has illustrated for us tonight, take that step. That they've trusted you as Lord and Savior, and now to take that first step of discipleship and be baptized. Lord, break our hearts tonight. Take us to those places that we need to go so that our eyes will be opened and that our ears will hear, that our feet will move and that our hands will touch. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open, and I want to invite you. Come to this altar tonight. You come. If you want to talk about a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to talk with you. Please come.